This is Soho Radio.
Hello you, what a beautiful day. It's as beautiful as God. Do you think God's good looking? Okay, I'm Bebe Lynch. You're listening to Bebe Does Soho on your fantastic Soho Radio. I'm so sorry, God. I'm all yours for the next 2 hours. Should we do it? I'm Bebe Lynch, and that was Diana Ross and the Supremes. Dame Bebe Lynch, and that was Diana Ross and the Supremes. Come see about me. Hey, how are you? What's been happening? Me? Nothing. Nothing to say, especially if you're the police. I'm in my little studio in Hove, and my producer Nick is Nick. You're Marsway. Where are you, producer
hello,
Nick?
Hello. Well, this week I'm in Australia.
No, shut up. I freak out. Where are you?
At home. Oh. In Australia. No, I'm... See, I could be anywhere, couldn't I? You don't know. No, I'm at home in London. You're in Brighton. We're distanced, 50 miles apart.
Yeah. We're not in each other's bubble. Are you? Have you been to Australia?
I went for the weekend once.
Oh, for why?
An ex of mine used to work for British Airways, and I got pretty much free flights. And it was a long, it was a sort of, you know, London, Thailand, Hong Kong, Sydney, back again type trip. So it was 10 days away, but we were actually only in Sydney for 2 days. So I always tell people that I went for the weekend, which is kind of true.
It's not true. You know, God.
Not personally.
So I said, this morning, before I was on my way to get some decaf, and then before I came back to talk to you, and I nearly went into a church. Do you ever do that? Do you ever get that? I think I might find religion.
Blimey!
If you picture God, how do you picture him or her?
I don't.
At all.
No.
Wow. Don't you find churches calming?
Yes, I do. I like the quiet and the sort of architecture and the history and heritage.
but not God.
No.
Do you remember that time I got really drunk in a church? I have no
recollection of this.
A friend of mine was doing an exhibition in the crypt of a church, and then it was to the church, and there was a little bar. That feels really bad.
Oh, see, I could get down with that. If churches had bars, then that could persuade me. Perhaps.
Well, it wasn't like I was nicking the red wine and the little wafers. I wasn't drinking the blood of. I feel like you've accused me of something.
I love that, you know, we're only 5 minutes into the show and already we're in very deep water. Perhaps we should move on. Tell me about the show.
Okay, move on. Our first guest is the brilliant comedian and vocalist, Tracy Cashy. Tracy will be telling us about her show Incurable and all about her lockdown. And in the second hour, head of product and marketing at luxury leather brand Noble McMillan, Hannah Fleming, will be here to help us emerge from lockdown stylishly and ethically. It's going to be a great show. Stick with us, toots. Give me just a little more time. I love that song. And you know, one of our favourite guests ever, I'm going to give you some info, right, and see if you can tell me who the guest is, Nick, right?
Yeah.
One clue.
Mm-hmm.
I accosted her in a toilet.
Oh, I know this. Emily Capel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing she's still friends with us, isn't it?
Because we were at a gig and she was supporting. It was Mary Wilson, wasn't it?
St. James's Theatre.
And we both said, she's brilliant. She'd be brilliant on the show. Yeah. We should go and ask her. And then you went off to the loo or the bar or something. And then 5 minutes later, you came back to the seat and said, I just accosted her in the toilet. She's coming on the show.
Nick, that's showbiz. Mm. Who have you met in a toilet? Who's the most famous person you've met in a toilet?
I can't recall that, but my good friend Liam once was at a urinal next to Lou Reed, and Lou, how shall I say this delicately, splashed on his shoes. my friend's shoes. Anyway, this is people don't want to know this.
That's all people want
to
know.
So why were you talking about Emily Capel?
So Emily Capel, you know, I love Emily. And I went to see Emily down here. When we're allowed out again, Nick, and to see each other again, let's go and see Emily again. And I saw her at the Hope and Ruin. And it was her headlining and with her brilliant band. I just said headlining, like Priti Patel would say headlining. I dropped the G. I'm so sorry about that, everyone. What is that? Anyway,
Alice, headlining.
Yeah, don't. I went to see Emily headlining at the Hope and Ruin in Brighton. And she is so incredible and her band's so brilliant. And they've done another lockdown song. And this is, I think you're going to love this, Nick. This is Emily and her band's version of Rapture. And Emily was saying to me, oh, I said we should do it. And then I thought, no, I'm not cool enough to do the rap. So Emily's rewritten the rap and it's absolutely brilliant.
Caroline flag. These are dark days and I'm going berserker. I
that was Emily Capel and Rapture. Guess what? Our first guest is here. Welcome to Soho Radio, fabulous comedian and vocalist, Tracy Cashy. Hey! Yay.
Fuck. I'm just going to swear the whole time. Now that you've given me a carte blanche, it's just going to be shit, fuck, bollocks, wank the whole way through.
Oh, look, she's such a pro. Look at Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
How are your new jeans that you had delivered?
Oh, no, I really didn't want you to ask me that question. I really did. It was such a sad ending. You know, I've managed to put on 4 stone.
Nice.
Yes, it's beautiful. And so I can't try anything on. So I thought, fuck this. I literally got like 2 pairs of leggings to rotate. So I thought, all right, I'm going to buy a size 18 maternity jean. Just that sentence itself is just all your listeners are going to want to commit suicide. That's what you wanted.
But are they looking gorgeous?
No, they're not, because no, they
don't
sent me
say
a size 8. They sent me a size 8. The motherfuckers, as if my life wasn't shit enough that I have to order a size 18 maternity jeans and I'm not even remotely pregnant. Thank you very much. But they sent me a size 8. So anyway. And you know, I'm allergic to the rigmarole of trying to return things.
Yeah.
I forced my 10-year-old to wear them. She's wearing them. She's, oh, mummy, they're really snuggly. I've got all this extra flap to like warm my chest with in the winter. Fantastic. Result. Let's not talk about
See?
This.
See, result. You did very well. I think I've put on, I put on the Hove stone since I moved to Hove. And I think I've put on the COVID half a stone. So yeah,
half a stone is fair enough. I've taken the piss.
Hey, producer Nick, tell Casey about I said Casey because I just looked at your surname. Tracy about the time you rang me up to tell me I was fat.
Oh, this again, this old chestnut. That's really not very accurate. So no, I'm not going to tell her that.
Tracy, ask him.
I thought I liked you, Nick. If you did that, I'm like...
I did that keto diet thing because I wanted to lose a little bit of the spare tire and it was working very well for me. And I just happened to say in passing in conversation, oh, I'm doing the keto diet. It's working very well. You know, you might want to look into it. It might be something that would interest
you. No, you didn't.
It's because she said, oh, that's amazing. And I said, you asked me to tell you about it and I told you about it and that was it. So now it's kind of... transmogrified into me telling her she was hot.
Oh, men, you're so hopeless.
What a piece of work. So Tracy Cashy, I saw you just scratching my leg. I saw you at the Royal Festival Hall and it was Claire Martin, the Inshore gig, and you guested and you blew me away. Your voice is incredible.
Oh, it's so romantic. You saw me before I met you.
Yes.
I just feel that's a great tell. So how did we meet? Well, she saw me and fell in love before we even met. No, that was an amazing gig. It was an amazing gig, and I totally fucked up the lyrics, didn't I? Don't you remember that?
I don't remember that. No, which always shows that the artist always thinks they've done something wrong.
Yeah, I slightly overreacted.
It could mean that you were asleep, baby.
You are. I'm Tracy. I'm so... He's so rude.
That's... Nick, who are you? What's going on?
Yeah.
What have you become?
Well, we're distancing still. So it's rather nice because I've, I'm 50 miles away from her, so... She can't throw anything at me.
What a piece of work. So how do you know Ian and Claire?
I've known Ian for many years. And it's all, the Royal Festival Hall is like the calling. It just keeps calling to both of us as artists or teachers. And I had an artistic residency there for a few years.
Wow.
And I did loads of little bits and bobs. And it was amazing. It was like being a really sort of an upmarket session singer. But you got involved with loads of lovely projects and amazing visiting artists, and I knew Ian then, but he didn't really know me as a singer. He just sort of knew me as someone who was just like handy, like a handyman but for music. and so that was it. And then you know, we kept in touch via social media, as you do, but I really wasn't expecting him to show up in the way that he did for me. I came out as not as anything interesting sexually, sadly, but as someone who was dealing with cancer.
Yeah.
And I put on a show for charity, and he came along, and it meant the world to me, because, you know, I was trying to do something slightly ridiculous, which was to marry the subject of cancer with comedy and music, live music. I was singing, I was trying to make some points and all sorts. And he just really decided to support me. And he said, right, I just need to get you singing as much as possible and doing as much as possible. And he's a very generous person. You know him. He's just always, yeah. he's an absolute sucker for a cause. And I think I was the cause du jour, you know, about a year ago. So
no, not how I ended up. He's a sucker for brilliant talent. That's what he's a sucker for. So that's what would have been going on there. So is that the show you're talking about? Was that in the show called Incurable?
Well, it started off as being called My Cancer Gap Year, but my cancer gap year didn't end up being a gap year, because I thought I had finished with it. But 6 weeks before the show debuted, I was re-diagnosed as advanced incurable, and I had like immediate treatment. I had surgery, all sorts of things, and I madly decided to go ahead, because I just thought, I need to get this shit out of my system.
Yeah.
And so I did it anyway. So I did this. I watched it recently in preparation for this interview, just to remind myself what the hell's been going on for the last year or so. I don't quite know how I did it. It was a slight out of body experience, but it was a joy to do. And it was that magic weird mix of something important to say, but it's also funny, and there's some live music. And then at the end, I dropped the bomb, which was, it's not a cancer gap year. It's, I'm living with this now for the rest of my shortened life. And it was quite heart wrenching for everyone involved. It was
yeah,
mad night. Yeah. And then I was going to turn it into Incurable, the show for this month of festivals, you know, in August. But then, you know, something happened in March.
Yeah, my birthday.
Yeah. Oh, you had a. Did you have a lockdown birthday?
No, I just my birthday was about pretty much the week before. So, do you know what? When you watched it back, that must have been such a weird experience. I love how you described that. So, there is something, isn't it, in the midst of, because I guess that would have been grief for you, wouldn't it, to have got that news? So, in the midst of kind of that. Head distanced, you did something, you created it, you did it, and now looking back at that, you can see where you were emotionally at that time.
Yeah, and there's a sense of urgency.
Because
like I don't know where I'm gonna be, you know, in 3 months' time. I mean, people like me who have this sort of incurable but treatable. You live between scans, and you don't know this sort of. It's all a paradox, because you get chemo and it sucks, but it saves your life, or it prolongs your life. Everything hurts, but it's good for you. And each day is a gift, but they mostly suck. So it's this constant paradox that you have to live with. So there's this sense of, okay, I just want to. I think in the old days, if you were told you were terminally ill, you would grieve and you would surrender and you would sort of, you know, presumably be looked after to a certain extent. But now, with the miracle of modern medicine, if you're in this in-between state, which I am, and I think someone has coined the phrase like in-betweeners. So you're an in-betweener. So I've probably got more than a year, but unlikely to have more than two or three. So this in-between state, it's like this sort of omnipresent grief, but it's not really validated. And I know you write about that. You write about what it's like to be denied your right to grieve. And I know you get that.
Yeah.
And that's a really hard place to be. And sometimes I just get defiant and I just go, fuck this. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And I think, you know, maybe it was just an amazing distraction for me to put on the show. And it worked, because I think afterwards I just crashed.
Yeah.
And when I saw you in December, it was about a month into the crash, and I was really depressed. So singing that night was a real boost. It really lifted me up, because, you know, there is a place to go with grief, and that is into art sometimes, and especially singing, and especially a Joni Mitchell song. I sang them, you know, the most incredible Joni Mitchell song. And that just made me feel better.
Everything you're saying is just making my brain buzz. It's so... Limbo is a really hard place to be, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
How are you doing it?
I don't know. I don't know. It's one day at a time, one moment at a time, one breath at a time, because I don't know one minute to the next whether I'm going to be really, really funny or really, really tragic. And I think I make people uncomfortable. And I think you also know what it's like to make people uncomfortable. And then they become really inept. And then they say awful, stupid, dumb shit. Like, I made a little list here. Like,
oh, you know, I love a list.
You know when you upset people and it makes them clumsy. So there's all sorts of shit that makes us clumsy. And I include myself in it. I'm sure I've been totally inept at times and totally clumsy at times. But it's okay to you know, invoke within yourself some authentic defiance or bravery. Yes, tick. But it's not okay to say, keep smiling, it'll grow back, or we're all terminal, love. Humor, joy, gratitude, okay, fine. But denying the full range of human emotions, no. You know, because there's this ridiculous pressure to remain 100% positive 100% of the time. Yeah. And, you know, there's this chorus of, Tracy, you've got to let go of all the resentments that caused the cancer in the first place. Wow. And, you know, the bullshit miracle diet cures. And I do feel that these days there's this fresh camaraderie, because we're all scared of getting sick and dying now, right? Yeah. And now I'm not the only one wading through the myriad of bullshit miracle diet cures. So, you know, drink your own wee, take vitamin D, turmeric, broccoli, CBD, kale, kefir, kimchi. Find a jade egg, stick it up your vagina if you happen to have one. Quit sugar, take up karate, and whatever you do, BB, stay away from cucumbers.
Oh,
I was told, after a gig, I was told by this, I think she was in her 60s, 70s. She was American. She was chain smoking at the time, telling me, stay away from cucumbers. and this is real. I don't.
Was it Marge Simpson?
Oh, Jesus. Do you know what? I do not make this up. The comedy finds me. I do not make up the comedy. There's nothing funny about terminal cancer. There's nothing funny about it. But the comedy writes itself if you just. Yeah. Open your eyes and ears, and you're prepared to call people out on their bullshit.
Yeah, the positive, the thing you say about that, oh, my God. Because I love that, because what that's saying is basically, it's your fault if you're ill. It's your fault if something's happened to you because you weren't positive. And I was like, oh, do fuck off.
Oh, no, it's exactly right. Exactly right. It's victim blaming.
Yeah.
And I, yeah, to a certain extent, I understand. It's scary stuff. People want to feel in control. So taking control of your diet is one way to do it. But it's very insidious, and it's very it's too much. It's just too much pressure. And that's what I loved about turning all this, like, what the fuck, into comedy, because it's a way to make people think about what they say. And in a palatable way, without being, you know, just being aggressive or rude to people who actually just mean well.
Mostly. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. That's an interesting situation to straddle, isn't it? That kind of knowing people. But I also think as well, there's situations where it's like stuff's happening to the person, and or say you, and then you also have to kind of deal with how people are dealing with that. And it's like, hang on, how much are you supposed to deal with? You know, there's enough already. People should be, I think people should have broader minds. I think what's incredible about what you're doing is with Incurable, with other, well, you'll talk about more your music in a second, but that's legacy. That's changing people's attitudes and opinions and just making people think, and that's forever.
I hope so. I mean, to be honest, I was always a bit of a show off, and I always loved to you know, to be an actor, an artist, or something, a singer or whatever. But I think I was always waiting for a purpose. And now that I've found the purpose, it makes it all so much easier because there's no, you can't broaden stuff. It always takes one person to be really honest. Like, you have been incredibly honest about your situation, about what it means to be childless. And you've changed people's minds and you've made people realise what they have. And I love the way you drop the mic in your articles with things like, you don't, the mums, they don't know they're born. I mean, it's so true, and it's changed my mind. And I mean initially I went to comedy because I wanted younger women to check their breasts, because I had no idea that women in their 20s, 30s and 40s can get breast cancer. I genuinely thought, and you know, I was the daughter of a doctor and a nurse, I genuinely thought it happened to women in their 50s and I had nothing to worry about. You know, this is bullshit. Instead of, anyway, I've got so much, I got quite a lot of rage. I think I need to do a lot more comedy.
Think this is, well, you know, you were very kind to me in your comment just then, and I really appreciate that. Thank you. But you are extraordinary. And I think rage is bloody brilliant because it makes it real and it's pertinent. And that's when it changes people's opinions. And I don't need to tell you this. You know this from Incurable, from how you are now just speaking. When it's fired by an energy, that's when you resonate. That's when people go, yes, what oft was thought but ne'er so well expressed. That's when people say, oh, my God, they're talking about me.
Yeah, and I don't know, man, though, it's hard sometimes because I feel like I have quite a unique perspective on things, and I think if I'm really honest, I'm going to piss a lot of people off.
You know what? What's that expression? I can never remember expressions, but that thing of like, what other people think of you isn't any of your business. You know, if you're pissing people off, you're not pissing them off. You're making them question something or a belief system or whatever that actually makes them feel uncomfortable. So they're pissing themselves off. You just have to be fucking carrying on doing what you're doing, because it's incredible.
Yeah, okay.
It's incredible.
Well, if I have the BB seal of approval, I will carry on.
It's so you said that, like, that sense of urgency. It's interesting because you're still producing incredible quality work. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like, oh my God, quick, just get anything out there. It's not like that with you. So it's focus as well as urgency, isn't it? It's like a clarity.
It has to be, because I have so little energy that I have to really, really think about what's important.
Yeah.
And I keep getting it wrong, I'll be honest with you. You know, so on a day-to-day basis, I don't know how to push. My body is absolutely a bizarrety, which isn't a word, but it should be. It's so bizarre. They don't tell you any of this shit. They don't. They don't tell you how much you're going to miss your nipples. They don't tell you. They don't tell you that hair loss after chemo is universal, and that you're going to have to reckon with bald labias that you haven't seen since the late 80s. They don't tell you that, man. They don't tell you that. It's just all pink, man. It's all pink and it's all positivity. They don't tell you. They don't tell you that medical menopause will make your vagina so dry that, you know, you've got to lube up just to, I don't know, I can't think of the rest of that punchline, but I'll work on it.
Finish on lube up. Always finish on lube up. You don't need more. You never go on lube. Are you in pain?
Of course, I'm in constant pain. I'm in constant pain. I'm in a pissing contest with my 78-year-old mother. This is not the natural order of things. And I tell you, I don't really think it's from the cancer. It's from the cancer treatment. This is one of the things that I think, if I do end up talking about, it's going to be quite controversial. Because I think the accepted way to view it is that, oh, wow, you can have all this treatment. It's amazing. Have it all. Take it all. But actually, there is this notion of quality of life.
Yes.
And, you know, for every treatment I have, there's always a crisis. There's always some kind of, you know, explosion of side effects where I just think, what is happening here? Am I supposed to be just a good girl who just takes her medicine and just lives for as long as possible? I don't think so. And at some point, there are going to be some tough decisions to be made. But I am in constant pain. I have very unreliable mobility. I mean, just a few days ago, I was in hospital for a blood clot, and I didn't know it was a blood clot. I thought it was my bones cracking, because I had cancer in my bones cracking, which meant I was going to be in a Zimmer frame for the rest of my life, worrying about who's going to wipe my ass. So this is, and then I go straight from that back into, you know, day to day, you know, what's for dinner?
Yes, God, it must be. It's just, I can't get my head around it.
No, I can't either, BB.
We're gonna play a song. I need to put on a song. You sent me, so you recorded, talking about music, you recorded this track. Oh, I love this, with Ian. So this is Nick. I'm not sure if you played it yet, so it's Into My Arms. Why did you choose this track?
Oh my God, because it's just it's how I feel.
Yeah,
it's just how I feel. I feel paradoxical, and I feel grief, but I also feel there's so much beauty in life and connection. And if anyone's gonna hear my voice, I'd rather it was within those contexts.
Let's hear the track.
Well, I don't believe in an interventionist God. I know, darling, that you do. But if I did, I would kneel down and ask you not to intervene when it came to you. Not to touch your hair on your head, leave you as you are. And if he felt he had to direct you, then direct you into my arms. Into my arms, oh Lord. Into my arms, oh Lord. Into my arms, oh Lord. Into my arms. And I don't believe in the existence of angels. Looking at you, I wonder if that's true. But if I did, I would summon them together and ask them to watch over you, and to each burn a candle for you, to make bright and clear your path, and to walk like Christ in grace and love, and guide you into my arms. Into my arms, oh Lord. Into my arms, oh Lord. Into my arms, oh Lord. Into my arms. But I believe in love. And I know that you do too. And I believe in some kind of path. And we can walk down, me and you. So keep your candles burning, make her journey bright and pure, that she'll keep returning always and nevermore. Into my arms, oh Lord, 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 into my arms.
That was Tracy Cashy and Into My Arms. I mean, just incredible, just beautiful. What else is on the album?
So, there.
So,
I'm just embarrassed, man, because it's ended up being like there's a summer song and there's a Christmas song and there's like originals. Well, I basically sent Ian like loads of my like musical thoughts and notes and bits and bobs, and he's turned them into things that make sense, and it was just amazing timing that we managed to record just everything within a couple of days right before lockdown. We were in the studio, Cowshed studio, and we were like the drummer was in his Perspex box, and we were all joking about COVID because we didn't really know how serious it was going to get.
Yeah.
So it's very surreal. It's a very surreal thing to remember. But yeah, we've done. I don't know, about 8 tracks, and I think Ian wants to do some more, but God knows how, when, why, or what. But
you will get it done, won't you? You are going to do it.
I really want to. I really hope so. But at the moment, I don't even know how to download things onto my own shitty website. Yeah. So what I need, I would just let people listen to it for free and just get hold of it. There are things on my website and on YouTube that you can listen to free, because I did a track for a couple of TV shows that you can May Gray, the soundtrack to May Gray with Rowan Atkinson, and I did the title sequence song to The Halcyon called Hourglass. You can get hold of those now.
Wow.
But the new stuff, I honestly don't know. I can't even update. If we record this, I wouldn't even know how to download it onto my website.
I'm going to get you, as my gift to you, Trace Cashy, I'm going to get you an oiled up YTS boy. Yeah.
Do you know what? That's just given me a hard on.
Well, that's a beautiful image. Thank you for that.
I don't think there's been YTS since Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, shut up.
You just dated yourself there.
Oiled and brought to my tent.
Yes, exactly.
One of my favourite phrases of all time.
But Tracy, you don't need to know these things. That's what, like Bibi says, that's what other people are for. You have a boy to deal with that for you.
Yeah. You're just the talent. You're the talent, my God. Sweet Cheeks. Just keep going with the talent. And are you going to... So how many times did you perform Incurable? Was it one night?
It was one fucking night.
So we need to... So you're going to get that... How are you going to do this? Come on.
Do it again. I will do it again. I'm booked to do it again next year in a theatre in town. Sorry, my brain's just gone to mush.
But in London.
It's part of the Camden Fringe. I would have loved to have done it in Edinburgh, but that's too much. But I'm going to... If the world is still existing and turning, and if audiences are prepared to go into an enclosed space for comedy purposes or for any other purposes, then it will be done this time next year in August.
Or we record this somewhere, Nick. We can do this. We get this recorded. Yeah. We get it, you know, we get it out there. I think it's do you know what I hate when people say it? I'm going to say it. It's really important. But it's really important.
I'm just so important.
But it's really important. No, but I, you know, come on, we need to see this. What are you doing the rest of today? Tell me. I love to know what people are up to.
Oh, you're joking. Really?
What are you doing?
I'm gonna call up a friend who's got some, she's found love during lockdown, and she's very, very excited. And she found love online, and they're in real life. they are together and they're so happy. And she's freaking out about it. So I'm going to call her and I'm probably going to spend about 45 minutes telling her to calm the fuck down and enjoy it.
Blimey.
Rest of my day. And then I'm going to try not to eat the contents of the fridge. Those are the two main objectives.
What's your favourite thing to eat right now?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I think anything, anything and some kind of, you know, magic combination of fats, sugars, and chocolate and or melted cheese, pastry. Oh, any God. All of those, you know, because listen, I quit sugar for a year and I still got cancer. So they don't know what they're talking about. I was skinny. I was out there enjoying the fresh air. I had my crystals. It's bullshit.
You had your crystals.
I had my crystals.
That's a track title. That's the book.
Crystals won't save you.
When is your book coming out? I want to get your book. What's happening with your book?
Do you know what? I'm going to write a book.
I thought you'd written it.
No, I haven't written one.
Well, okay. You do. I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Wow, totally, lady. All right.
And on that, and on that bombshell.
Tracy.
Yes,
it's been what a joy to speak with you. I can't wait to meet you. So we're going to do that as soon as we're allowed.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're both sending you all our love.
Thank you.
And for everyone listening, for everything to do with Tracy, go to tracycashy.com.
But it's a shit website, so
please go to a shit website.
Go to my shit website.
And follow her on Twitter at Tracy Cashing. Cashy is K-A-S-H-I. So much love to you.
Thank you, darling.
You're very important, important talent.
I'm an essential worker.
I'm a key worker. Yeah. I'm a key worker. I'm the only key worker here.
Are you really?
Yes, I am.
Oh my God.
And I'm not talking about my gig at Timpsons. No, I am actually a key worker. Right, get off my show.
All right,
see you soon.
Thanks so much for joining us, Tracy.
I love you.
Good luck with the fridge.
Help me.
Soho Radio with BB Lynch.
Tay Tay, where do you stand on Tay Tay?
Tay Tay, Taylor Swift. Yeah, why do people call her Tay Tay?
Because maybe it's like her name's Taylor.
Yeah. I don't think she calls herself that. Don't her fans call her that?
Are you a Tay Tay fan?
I am. I saw her live once. I was invited to go and was of two minds. Didn't really have an opinion one way or the other. But at the end of it, I was just blown away. It was one of the most spectacular, incredible shows I think I've ever seen.
What were you blown away by?
Just the scale of it. It was her Reputation's tour at Wembley Stadium. It was just, you know, just her range, her talent. You know, she sings, she dances, she plays the guitar, she does acoustic songs, she does full-on big dance numbers. Just the scale of it. I've seen a lot of bands over the years doing big shows, you know, from like people like Queen and Aerosmith and U2 and the Rolling Stones, people that are known for big stadium gigs. She just blew the socks off all of that. It was just spectacular.
That's so mad, because I've resisted Tay Tay, and I think my resistance has been mainly fringe based. I've never really liked her fringe, and that, I know that that may make me sound shallow.
Making musical judgments on people's hairstyles,
much,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and they call them bangs, don't they? Anyway.
Bangs, ooh. And then that makes it better. And then I've also thought, I don't know, her voice doesn't really kind of do anything for me. But so I kind of said this on Twitter, and someone, and now I can't remember the name of the song, and I wish I could remember it. And it's a song that she sang and wrote about a little boy who died, and it's kind of from his mother's perspective. And, oh, I think it's called Ronan or something like that. Mm. Let's have a little Google when we play after we play the track. And it's so incredibly moving. And then someone else recently on Twitter said that they think that she did it. She said, it was Vari, and she said, I am aware that I'm a little bit drunk when I say this, but saying that she just thinks she's almost like Bob Dylan, but with the less annoying voice, because her lyrics are so kind of pertinent and resonate. And this track, this is a new one. So I said, okay, convince me, play me a Tay Tay that I'll love. And she said, False God. You won't like it because you hate God. And so I played it and I love it.
Well, this is from her album that came out last year called Lover, which is her latest, or was her latest album. But Stop Press, since you put this playlist together a few days ago, she's dropped a surprise album out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So there's a new album, newer than this. Yeah. It's called Folklore. And I was listening to it at the weekend, and it's outstanding. It's really
good.
Yeah, and a lot of people, a lot of surprising people in the press and online and on Twitter and stuff are all saying, wow, this could be the album of the year. It's just brilliant. So do seek that out, Folklore. However, this track isn't from that. This is from Love.
And it's False God.
We were crazy to think that this could work. Remember how I said I'd die for you. To jump in the ocean, separating us. Remember how I'd lie to you. And I can't talk to you when you're like this, staring out the window like I'm not your favorite town. I'm New York City. I still do it for you, babe. They all warned us about times like this. They say the road gets hard and you get lost when you're led by blind faith. But we might just get away with it. Religion's in your lips. Even if it's a false god, we'd still worship. We might just get away with it. The altar is my hips. Even if it's a false god, we'd still worship this love. We'd still worship this love. Still worship this love. I know heaven's a thing. I go there when you touch me, honey. Hell is when I fight with you. But we can patch it up good. Make confessions and we're begging for forgiveness. Got the wine for you. Talk to me when I'm like this, daring you to leave me just so I can try and scare you. You're the West Village, you still do it for me, babe. They all warned us about times like this. They
say the road gets hard and you get lost when you're led by blind faith, blind faith. But we might just get away with it. Religion's in your lips, even if it's a false. False God, even if it's a false God, still worship this love.
This is Bieber Does Soho on Soho Radio Culture, SohoRadioLondon.com, and click on Culture. And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. That was Tay-Tay and False God. And before Taylor Swift, we chatted with Tracy Cashy. And Nick, what an incredible woman.
Oh, it was very inspiring. Such energy. She's so bright and upbeat. And then, you know, talking about the things that she's experienced, it's, you know, she's incredible.
And really, what I loved about her was the way she honestly faces stuff and honestly says, you know, real deal. I love that. I think that's the biggest compliment you can pay someone, say they're real deal. And she, you know, wasn't hiding behind faux Instagram bullshit motivational stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
She was just saying, this is my situation. It sucks. Worse than that, you know, obviously worse than that.
But it is what it is. And all you can do is just, you know,
yeah,
keep calm and carry on, you know.
Yeah. And while I'm in it, yeah, while we're doing this, I'm doing this. Mm. You know, which was absolutely amazing. Should we have a little song?
Oh, why not? What have you chosen?
This is your favourite.
<Is it?
laughs> Well, I absolutely adore this track and I haven't heard this for a long, long time. It's Sade and By Your Side. Ooh.
Better than that.
Sade by your side. That's what we call in the business a back anno, which really? I didn't need producing it because I'd already introduced it. What's a before anno called?
An anno, an announcement. but somebody might have just turned on halfway right. through that and thought, I like this. I wonder what it is.
Yeah.
Well, these days people are Shazam, don't they, if they're really bothered to know what something
but
is.
But you make a good point. So for you, just who've just tuned in and where the hell have you been, that was Sade and by your side. The next artist we're going to play, I love, so Mabel South, I love Mabel. And we played Mabel's first track on the show a few months ago. And we've kept in touch. And she sent me her latest single. And again, I just think she's brilliantly, brilliantly brilliant. And here's the track, My Own Eyes, Mabel South.
Story about a girl, I don't know her name. She put on her shoes and stood out in the rain. The people all looked and they called her insane, but she knew what she was playing. She tilted her head, she looked up to the sky, hands up, big smile, wide open eyes. She started to laugh, then she started to cry. So I asked her why, and she said, oh my god, look at this. You can see the stars through the cloud and the mist. Never thought it would be nice to coexist in this world. This is more than I ever was hoping. I haven't seen the years. I've been broken, pushed on through. Now it's beautiful, seen through my own eyes. Oh, the fog has gone from in my mind. It's cleared up, gone away. Inside in my life, I'm glad it's finally my time. I never ever thought I'd see the day when I felt so good. Nothing is in my way. Even when it's rainy outside, the sky is grey. I feel okay. Oh my god, look at this. You can see the stars through the cloud and the mist. Never thought it would be nice to coexist in this world. This is more than I ever was hoping. You could see the stars through the cloud and the mist. Never thought it would be nice to coexist in this world. This is more than I ever was hoping. I've been sleeping for years, I've been broken, pushed on through.
That was Mabel South and My Own Eyes. And if you want to find out more about Mabel and follow what she's up to, she's on Insta at Mabel South Music.
BB does Soho.
Hey,
on Soho Radio.
Hey,
sharing this one and only life, ending up just another lost and lonely wife. You count up the years and they will be filled with tears. Love only breaks up to start over again. You'll get the babies but you won't have your man. While he's busy loving everybody,
don't love you. It's high time now, just one crack at life. Who wants to live it in trouble and strife? My mind must be free to learn all I can about me. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna love me for the rest of my days.
Candy Staton and Young Hearts Run Free.
Ah, but it's Staton. I interviewed
her
once. Staton.
Candy Staton.
That's her name. Yeah, I interviewed her once and I said Candy Staton and she said it's Staton, actually. And so, yeah, I was corrected.
Well,
from the horse's mouth.
Two things. Well, three things now. Don't call her horses.
Yeah, that came out wrong, but you know what I mean.
She was rude to interrupt you and you were rude to interrupt me.
Okay.
So that's
just
Candy
correcting
Staton.
You rather than interrupting. I've done
Staton.
It again.
Damn, she should just stick in a Y, for God's sake. Candy Staton and Young Hearts Run Free. Hey, welcome to the second hour of BB Does Soho.
We're still here.
We're still, God knows how. I'm BB Lynch, and you're listening to Soho Radio Culture, sohoradiolondon.com, and click on Culture. And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from our beautiful new studio. Hang on. Where the hell are we?
Well, I'm at home in London.
Where
are you?
Hove. But keep in touch, everyone, even though we're not in studio, at Soho Radio, at BB Lynch, we would love to hear from you. So, in the spirit of, I mean, I'm 87 next birthday, and you're quite old as well, Nick. But we really, but it's, do you know, one of the joys of doing the show is supporting young artists, isn't it? New artists. I really love it. And we played Mabel South earlier. And we're about to play Will Hanko, a track from Will Hanko. And again, we've played one of Will's tracks before on Soho. Another talented person. Will is on Instagram, Will Hanko Music. So you can keep track of everything he's up to. And this is his latest single, Last Lifeline.
Fade out. You're digging yourself deep enough. Changing. to help escape. Look yourself inside, to let you lose your mind. Your life will not to get away. Your life will not for yesterday. Now I've been waiting for some time.
Hanco, Last Lifeline. So you can keep up with Will on Instagram, Will Hanco Music, Will, W-I-L-L, and Hanco is spelled H-A-N-C-O.
I love that. It's so distinctive, his sound, isn't it? It's I like the last track, but I like this one even better.
I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. I love everyone. I'm full of love today.
Makes a change.
I've turned into Kate O'Mara. All I'm doing is perving at people.
One for the kids there.
I loved her. Anyway, you know I give you the gift of music every show.
You do. That's coming up in a little while.
Oh God, it annoys me. Anyway, one of my mates on Twitter, Dante Banks, he gives me the gift of music every Sunday, and it's so brilliant. He plays. It's like a Sunday track for Bobo.
That's Bobo's. Quite romantic.
It is lovely, isn't it? And Bobo's stuck for some reason. Oh, my God, this will make you laugh so much. So, you know, I'm Dame BB Lynch on Twitter.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. How can you get away with that? Isn't there some government department that's going to catch up with you and say, fraudulently presenting yourself as a dame of the British Empire?
She's nothing like a dame.
She ain't nothing.
She ain't a dame. I'm Dame because of Sarah Gale Brown insisted I be called Dame BB Lynch. And I love being Dame BB Lynch. It really makes me laugh. Anyway, my Twitter account was compromised the other week and was frozen. And Twitter sent me an email and they actually addressed it to Dame BB Lynch, which made me laugh so much. Anyway, so Dante on Twitter gives me the gift of music, and it's Sunday music for Bobo. And I love it. And he sends me such brilliant, brilliant tracks. And often things, again, it's that whole thing of thinking, well, knowing that you love music and knowing that you know quite a bit about music, but that you've got huge gaps. And he sent me this, and I'd never heard this. I wonder if you'd heard it before. It's The Shapeshifters featuring Kimberly Davis and Life is a Dance Floor. I love that. I love that. I love that. Thank you, Dante. Keep those Sunday tracks for Bobo coming. Bobo loves them.
That was good.
Yeah, it's great, wasn't it? How you doing, Nick? You all right?
I'm okay. Just going to have a sip of coffee.
Ooh. Oh, what have you got?
This is really nice coffee I found. It's called Machu Picchu, and it's from Peru. And I thought, that sounds nice. And I picked up the packet in the supermarket, and it said on the packet, full-bodied with dark chocolate overtones. Oh. And I thought, well, that's worth a punt.
Isn't it funny how we both have coffee that suits us? Because I've got Mellow Bird.
Of course you have.
Of course you have. So coming up, we have Hannah Fleming, who is the head of product and marketing at Noble Macmillan, that gorgeous luxury leather brand. Oh, how lovely. But before Hannah joins us, I love this track so much. And I saw him sing it live at Ronnie Scott's, and it was an incredible,
incredible moment.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, I'd love to have seen him live. I never
did. Absolutely. It was my first night back in London after being in Manchester for a year. And our friend Ian Shaw said, come to Ronnie's. And I went to Ronnie's, and Ian and I sat in the audience. And even that's lovely, sitting with Ian, watching an artist. And then, because Ian's an incredible artist, and like him being as a fan, and I looked, you know, a peer and a fan, and I turned, and Ian had tears in his eyes, because it was honestly astounding. This is Al Jarreau, and Wearing This Love Together.
Song that we love to sing. Every time we hear the music, and we're in this love together, we got the kind that lasts forever. We're in this love together, and like berries on the vine, get sweeter all the time. It's like a rainy night and candlelight, and ooh, it's so romantic. We got the whole thing working out so right, and it's just the way we planned it. We're in this love together, we got the kind that lasts forever. Don't you know that we're in this love together, and like berries on the vine, it's sweeter all the time. Mm-hmm.
That was Al Jarreau. Guess what? Our final guest is here. Welcome to Soho Radio, Head of Product and Marketing at Noble McMillan, Hannah Fleming. Hello, Hannah.
Hi.
Hannah Fleming is such a gorgeous name.
I'm not sure, but that's very sweet of you.
Why are you not sure? It's just a kind of, that's a Bond name.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Ian Fleming.
Yeah, but you should be in the Bond film.
Well,
we'll see.
We'll see, yeah.
We'll see. So tell us about Noble McMillan. So I obviously have heard of Noble McMillan. So it's a British luxury leather goods brand, and you do everything.
We do. So, we're based in South Kent. We've been here for about 32 years now. We started selling photo albums. That's what we've always been known for. But obviously now in recent years, we do luxury games, frames, basically mainly leather items. This summer we have launched a recycled bag.
And what was the idea behind that?
Long story short, I was in the Isle of Wight last year and met this lovely woman who makes the bags called Molly. And I absolutely loved them and bought one for myself. And then I thought, well, we should do a range, Noble McMillan should design a range. So I knew our customers would love them. And yeah, it's just an amazing movement at the moment of companies moving towards a slightly more ethical stance and new products and seeing what materials we can recycle to create something new.
Yeah, and these are recycled from bottles and plastics.
Yeah, exactly. So they're actually made in Indonesia, where Molly lived for 20 years. She actually saw people making them in the market, just out of kind of recycled bottles, packing tape, any kind of plastic rubbish that they could use. And she loved them so much that, she now works really closely with these amazing group of women in Indonesia, and they weave these beautiful bags for us.
I really love that you've got maybe this is a stupid thing I'm going to say, but that's never stopped me. My whole career's been based on saying something quite dumb. So here we go. Third one of the show. It feels like not a natural marriage for a luxury leather brand to go for recycled stuff, but it works.
Yeah, that's half the reason why I loved it, taking something that other people could see as rubbish and think is worthless and turning it into something that's really beautiful. And, the fact that they're all hand woven and are all slightly different, I think just adds to the beauty of it personally.
And describe the bags, because that's something I thought that was really lovely. There's a little kind of tag that you get engraved.
Yeah. So we use the offcuts of recycled leather for the tag. So again, using lots of recycled things, and we engrave everything here so we can put your initials or name on it in kind of gold or silver foil, just to make it that little bit more special and make it your own. So yeah.
And there's a plant, a tree planted for every bag sold.
Yes, exactly. So just to really reiterate the environmental point, for every bag sold, we plant a tree in the UK. So we actually donate through the Woodland Trust, which focuses mainly on the UK, I think, actually maybe only on the UK. And just looking at regenerating areas of forest and woodland. So we thought it'd be great to get behind that as well.
Do you find that customers are really wanting more environmentally friendly products? Actively pushing for them?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, retail in itself isn't great for the environment, as I'm sure we all know. Our other products, obviously all made of leather, they're more environmentally friendly in the sense that you buy them as something you'll have forever, will be passed down through your family, photo albums and luxury backgammon sets that will be around, for generations to come. So, stepping away from the fast fashion.
Yeah.
So I think people want to buy less things that are better quality. That's definitely something we've seen. Most of our stuff is made in the UK, which we also love as well, in our Dagenham workshop.
I love that. So we were kind of thinking of this, chatting to you, because, obviously the pandemic and lockdown is just like still huge for everyone. But we kind of feel like we're emerging a little bit, and we love the idea of like you're emerging stylishly and environmentally friendly, you know, friendly.
That's very sweet.
There's for Noble Macmillan, has there been what have the impacts of the pandemic being, not just really on sales but kind of attitude wise, is there anything that, because I guess a lot of us are feeling that it's been a bit of a reset?
I totally agree. I think people have definitely had a time to slow down, think about, you know, their homes, what kind of products they want to have there. You know, they don't want it full of stuff anymore, you know, much more, as I said before, quality rather than quantity. I mean, In terms of products that have been doing really well for us, we've seen a huge spike in photo album and games sales, which I think just paints a lovely picture of everyone, you know, staying at home, playing traditional card games, Perudo, backgammon with their families rather than just, you know, staring at a screen. So I think it's a nice story. Personally.
What's Perudo?
It's a dice game. It's kind of like a Peruvian liar dice game. It's really popular now.
Peruvian liar
dice. Very hard to explain the rules to you right now, but it's really great for families. Really great.
Ask Nick, what games do you play? You still doing strip Twister?
Yes.
Yes. Yes,
exactly.
Yes, I am.
Clue
yes,
game.
I am. Clue game.
Perfect.
It'd be great for your family, Bea, because you've got so many brothers and sisters.
God, Hannah, I'm the eldest of seven.
Oh my goodness.
And they all hate me.
I bet that was competitive game playing when you were younger.
Yeah. Peruvian Lida. I don't know what that thing was
called.
God,
I don't. Yeah, only six people can play our set, so we'd have to get you two.
Get rid of
Hannah
one of them.
In the works. Yeah,
get rid of one. It doesn't matter. We'll get rid of them. The one I like least.
Exactly.
What else is happening with... is your store open?
It is open, yeah. We opened as soon as we could. Things are obviously a bit funny. Face masks come in on Friday. So weirdly, you don't have to wear one today, but on Friday you would.
So weird, isn't it?
Which is slightly bizarre. But yeah, I mean, I think everyone who works in retail is just really happy to be back and, you know, just ferociously disinfecting everything between shop customers. I mean, I'm lucky we don't do clothes, so you don't have to try things on, because that would be very tricky, I think.
So a girlfriend of mine said that the other day. She went clothes shopping. I was like, what? And she said it was a one-way system. I said, well, the whole point for me is I'm loitering, pretending I'm a size 14 when actually I'm like straddling 18, you know, and it's like, and then trying it on and then crying and the changing
rooms.
Oh,
no. And then it has to go, then the item of clothing has to go into quarantine. So.
Such
palaver.
It's not fun, is it? It's not
no,
fun.
No, so we're lucky that, you know, our store, we don't have to deal with that, because I imagine that would be very stressful. So, yeah, luckily no changing rooms.
What do you think? what's coming up for Noble Macmillan? Anything more exciting?
Well, we always have new releases coming up. They'll be coming out nearer Christmas. It's funny, we're already doing our Christmas planning now, which feels a million miles away, because we feel like we've kind of missed the summer. Things are all exciting, things are coming. But yeah, they'll be around Christmas.
Okay.
So yeah, at the moment we're just enjoying our recycled shoppers as our summer bag.
They're beautiful. So they're about, what size are they?
Oh, gosh, I should know that. Well, they're kind of the size of a normal tote bag. So, you know, when I carry mine, it's kind of it's like a big handbag, basically.
Yeah. They're red, blue and yellow.
And obviously being made out of the recycled plastic, really great for kind of beach bags and stuff, because if they get dirty, you can literally just wipe them down. So great for kids and, you know, out and about.
Oh, it's such a lovely idea. And I think it really is the way kind of stuff's going, isn't it? How we're thinking now.
I hope so. I've seen so many brands doing amazing, amazing recycled products that, it's really exciting.
Hannah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And absolute pleasure.
You're so pad. Yes.
Pad, yeah. Sorry about Nick talking about Strip Twister. I don't know what came over.
Don't worry.
To get yourself a recycled shopper and to see all their gorgeous products, go to noblemacmillan.com and at noblemacmillan on Twitter.
Have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I knew. Oh, someone warm like you would make my dream come true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me. Not like it's hurt me before. For once, I have something I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore. For once, I can say, this is mine, you can't take it. Long as I know can make it. For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Hey, 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 yeah. Oh, I me, I'm not alone anymore. For once I can say, this is mine, you can't take it. Long as I know I have love, I can make it. For once in my life, I have someone who needs me.
Baby Does Soho. Lucky Solo.
Come around.
Gladys Knight and the Pips, Baby Don't Change Your Mind. Actually, did you know the original title of that, Nick, was BB Don't Change Your Mind?
Was it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. I think about Gladys Knight.
Constantly.
Constantly. I don't think she's... Do you think she knows I exist?
I'm sure she does, yes. Somehow. She's aware.
She's seen the police records. something. So, oh, God, I'm so annoyed. I'm in a bad mood.
Why?
Because this is the part of the show where I gift producer Nick the gift of music, and it irritates me that I do it, and I don't know why I started doing it, and because I started doing it, I have to keep doing it. Here you are, producer Nick, enjoy it.
Yeah, but this is at odds with what you were saying a little while ago, where you said, oh, what? I love to discover new things, and it's so nice when people introduce you to stuff.
Yeah.
So you've just...
I just don't like making you happy.
Well, as I always say, it's not really a free choice, because I always feel honour bound to choose something that I think you'll like.
Otherwise, except I'll be when in the you chose house. A track by who was?
Oh, Joe Dolan. Yeah, the last show. Yeah, you. That was. She's such a good looking woman. What a classic that was. Boots Dolan. Yeah. The Irish Tom Jones. But no, this is a good one. I was watching on TV, it's recently been on the BBC and it's still on the iPlayer, I think, Mrs. America. Have you seen that?
I'm going to start that today.
It is so good. It's Cate Blanchett's in it and Rose Byrne and people and a lot of a really, really good cast. But it's essentially the story throughout the 1970s of the fight for the Equal Rights Act in America for equal rights for women in law. And it's really good. There's about 8-9 episodes or something. But the soundtrack is absolutely fantastic. And I noticed somebody had really cleverly gathered together all the songs they'd used, because obviously it's set, I think it starts in 1971 and ends around 1980. So the songs that are featured in each episode are pertinent to that particular year. And so it's just an incredible soundtrack of America in the 70s. And somebody's made a Spotify playlist of all the songs they used in the show. And I discovered this the other day. Seek it out if you have Spotify. And there's this one track. When it was played on the show, I thought, this is great. Who is this? Turns out it's The Temptations. I'd never heard this before. And I think you'll love it. It's called Hum Along and Dance.
Ain't no words to this song.
Ain't no words to this song. well, you just dance and hum along. Now listen, ain't no words to this song, people. You just dance and hum along. Now listen.
Take it all back. That was incredible. Thank you for the receiving the gift of music so graciously.
It's my pleasure. The Temptations, Hum Along and Dance, and that's absolutely featured on the soundtrack of Mrs. America.
I can't wait. I'm going to start. That's today. I'm not going to do any work. I'm just going to watch that. I can't wait. Oh my God. I just finished I May Destroy You, or rather, I May Destroy You just finished me. Have you seen it?
No. A lot of people have talked about it. I don't think I could. I'm not in the mood for that at the moment.
I
accept
hear you.
It's brilliant, but I needed some escapism.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm there. My next thing has to be something that just is kind of okay. Doesn't make me think too hard. Do you know who I love?
A lot of people. Mainly yourself.
I don't. You know, see, that's a foolish thing to say. I'm full of self-loathing.
I know, I was trying to be upbeat and positive.
Let's go back to God and Kate O'Mara. We know we're safe there. Aretha Franklin. I love Aretha Franklin. And this is a track that I love. And it's from La Diva album, I think. And it's called It's Gonna Get a Bit Better, which is actually quite an apt little number right now.
If you will.
It's Gonna Get a Bit Better by Aretha Franklin. So I need to say goodbye and I need to thank my guests. Thank you, Tracy Cashy. Thank you, Hannah Fleming. Thank you, gorgeous producer Nick. And most of all, thank you for listening. That's it from me, Bebe Lynch. Until next time, stay tuned to your wonderful Soho Radio. Now, most of the tracks I've played today have been my mum's favourites. She died 32 years ago today. I can't believe it. So here's to the original Bebe Lynch. I'm going to leave you with a song she absolutely loves. Tina Turner, David Bowie, Tonight. Love you, Soho.